Welcome to this morning's worship time, and we are so grateful for our team to come together and minister to the Lord and to enable, we believe, many of you watching online to worship Jesus together. Thanks, guys. Thank you. Well, I know that the nation are responding to the loss of the Duke of Edinburgh, and I'm sure you have prayed for the Queen and her family. But for us as a church family, if you're watching in online and visiting, you're so welcome, and I'm sure this word will help you. But I particularly have on my heart this morning the local church, our family, because we have lost a very special man. Well, he's not lost, he's found. He's with Jesus in glory, but a special man to us all, Andy Wilcox. And we are very sad in this moment because we will miss him dearly. But not as much as Jane, and not as much as her children, Jonathan and Hannah, and their families. And I know that your hearts are going out to them in prayer, to the Lord in prayer. And I know that many of you will be with her as she journeys through this time of grief and mourning, but also of real joy. Jane has a real joy that Andy is with the Lord. And that is our joy too. We know that he is with Jesus. And he's far better off than he's ever been. And that is the hope. While we grieve, we don't grieve without hope, because we know that Jesus was his Saviour and his Lord. And I want to speak this morning on what to do when life gives you unanswered questions. Unanswered questions. And if I was to ask everybody, I am sure, in your walk with the Lord as a Christian, you will have, if I ask the people in the room, how many of you have got unanswered questions? Things you just don't know the answer to. The whys, the why did this happen? Very, very often these unanswered questions come out of a type of pain and of personal challenge and trouble. And I have learned in my walk with the Lord, and I've walked with him for many years now, and I'm not that old yet, before you start calculating my age. I'm getting renewed inside every day. But in my walk with the Lord, I have learned how to handle unanswered questions and how not to handle unanswered questions. Because there's a good way and a bad way what to do when you have unanswered questions. And my first comment, I'm not going to make much of this, but my first comment is, don't let the devil answer the question. Okay, so now that sounds a very obvious statement, but Satan is out to lie and misrepresent, and he's really happy when we personally misinterpret the bad and start to criticize God or ourselves. How many of you have done that one? I've done that one. He's got me on that one, but I've won over that one. Or blame someone else when things go wrong. So people can get, and it's really part of, sadly, some people's experiences, they get angry with God. They criticize, and they criticize what he says. And that is really the devil's plot. It's his plan that we actually get him to answer and put into our heads what God would never say and who God never is and what he'd never say about us. If you go back to a few weeks ago, if you're a believer, you are his beloved son, with whom he is well pleased. That's the truth that sets us free. if he makes you think God is bad, then you are going to go downhill and walk away from the Lord, without question. And it's not the truth, because the devil is a liar and the father of all lies. And he cannot tell the truth. And if he does, he does it to destroy you rather than to heal you. All that Jesus does is to help us and heal us and enable us to see how good God is. When Jesus said he puts the devil into a clear camp, the enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But I have come that you may have life, and life in all its fullness. That's a clear, clear camp. That's it. All the bad's from the devil, sin and the devil, actually. All the good's from God. Life in all its fullness. That's if you want to compute whatever you're going through, that's a good start. John 10:10. You can start there. Blame the devil. Or sin, if it's pain that somebody has caused you through their sin or whatever. But do not ever turn on God and start to question your faith. There's a guy, if we turn to Psalm 73, who was going through a tough time. And I just love it that there is understanding from the Word on how to deal with unanswered questions. And this is one way to deal with it. In Psalm 73, we read here about a guy called Asaph, and he starts great. Truly, God is good to Israel. So he starts really right. God's good. And that's what we say as a church, because it's the truth. God is good. But then he goes, verse 2, as for me, my feet had almost slipped. So in other words, I nearly fell over. Why? And if you read on, I'm not going to go into every detail, but he was saying the enemy is triumphing in this situation. It looks like the enemy is triumphing over this. And he actually is really struggling, but I like it that he almost slipped, but didn't. Okay, what stopped the slide? The backslide. Because I think he might have been about to walk away. What stopped him from sliding back or falling over and not walking? When you fall, you're not walking with Jesus. Because we're here to follow Jesus, aren't we? You can walk with him through everything. Well, it says in verse 16, this is what happened. After all his analysis of a situation that looked terrible, in verse 16, he said, when I thought how to understand this, I'm trying to get understanding of this situation, it was too painful for me. Like, this is overwhelming. Until I went into the sanctuary of God. I love that. Until I got with God. Got into God's presence. Then he said, I understood their end. Okay, so basically, he said he went to church and he came out with understanding when he had questions about how things looked. He went to the Lord. Now, this could have happened for us on our own. It can happen anytime we draw near to God and his truth, his word. Or we go to church and we hear, we worship him just as we have this morning. It's wonderful, those songs this morning. Perfect. Be praised. Be praised, Lord Jesus. Center on him, because that gives you a lift. A lift. And then when you're there with him, it's a different matter. It's instead of looking from the lowest point, you've gone to the highest point because you're before the throne of God himself. Until I entered his presence, and he must have heard somebody speaking the word, preaching the word of God. Worshipping the word being preached. And this is the power of a new perspective. Look what happened. And some of these verses are, I don't know, they draw. If you love Jesus, they will draw the most beautiful prayer and faith out of you. Look at this. But he starts with, okay, because he's seen the end of the enemy. And I tell you what, if you've read Revelation and you believe what Jesus says about the devil, I've seen the end. It's a lake of fire. I saw the end on the cross when Jesus defeated Satan and all the powers and principalities. I've seen it. I've seen what Jesus has done, and I've seen where he's going to end up. So he doesn't get to win. First of all, that's the first thing he says I've seen. He doesn't win this. Because Jesus has won it for us. That's it. So I've seen the devil's end. Sadly, the end of all whose names aren't written in the book of life. And I praise God, my name is. And I praise God, Andy's name is. And I believe the Queen's name is. I believe in the book of life. And I believe my name is written because I have put my faith in the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. But all whose names are not in that book will go into the lake of fire. But all of those whose names are in that book will go to glory, to heaven. That's my end. Earth isn't my end. Heaven is my end. It's wonderful news. Perspective. The power of a new perspective. It's a wonderful, powerful, life-changing perspective. Oh my goodness, don't we need perspective? Sometimes I think we look at life through a slit in a fence. You know, a wooden fence that's got a little bit of a gap and we kind of peer through and we just see a narrow view. And the Lord says, 32,000 feet, come up here and I'll show you how you should be looking at this. My word, my spirit can reveal to you how you should be seeing this. And it's a win. And then he says, I can see how I'm walking through life. He said, I was a brute beast before, moaning, complaining. What's a brute beast like? Somebody who's complaining, moaning, and in pain, actually. It's a real situation that has caused agony. But he said, it made me really not nice to be around. Until I entered the presence of God and got a new perspective. And then he said, I'm with you continually. You'll guide me with your counsel. Afterwards, you'll receive me in glory. Who am I? I've got in heaven but you and on earth. There's nothing I desire more than you. It's wonderful words. This is a prayer to pray. My heart, my flesh may fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. And then he goes on to say, verse 28, just read this. It's good for me to draw near to God. Look what happened. It's good for me to draw near to God. Look what happened. He came out. I'm telling you, that man would have come in like this. And you know, have you ever been to church looking grumpy? Or going through a hard time? And this is the power of Jesus. The power of truth setting us free. We can go out different because Jesus and his spirit is life-changing. In one morning, and I'm hoping it's for you today, you can see the devil's end, you can see your end, and you can see the Lord is with you. And it's an amazing thing to draw near to God because he changes you. That's what happened to Asaph. Now we're going to look at Psalm 13. Whilst I have a drink, why don't you look at that? Because I'm choking up because I started to preach. And my voice isn't used to preaching. Because I'm not usually got a live audience. The online audience is, it's much more difficult actually as a preacher just to talk to a camera. So, but I'm going to hold back. So I'm 13. Now, David is known as the man after God's own heart. Okay. Now, if you knew David, if you met David just in this moment in verse 1 to 2, you would not consider him a man after God's own heart. I already think that sets me free. How many of you have ever vented? Okay, cool. We've got some honest people in the room. And if you're not honest, well, no, maybe you never have. I don't know. You might be far more changed from one image, one degree of glory to another. But sometimes I can vent. And this is David. And he says, "How long, O Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? How long shall I take counsel in my soul, having sorrow in my heart daily? How long will my enemy be exalted over me?" That is a downtime for David. He's saying the enemy's winning. God's forgotten me. Well, there are three things here that I'd like to pull out from those two verses. Can God forget you? So David is believing a lie. He's believing what he feels. Okay, so it's really easy to allow your feelings to dictate your beliefs. Especially when you're in pain. Because we do feel, we're made with emotions. And God understands that. And there is a time to grieve. We're supposed to. But David's sorrow and suffering has led him to think wrong and believe wrong. So he says, God's not with me. He's hiding from me. And God actually says, how can I forget you? Does a mother forget their child? Like a mum could never forget their child. And he says, how can I forget you? Your names are inscribed on my hand. That's amazing. So David's feelings and situation are dictating what he thinks about God. Praise God, he comes out of this. And praise God, we can come out of this. But it starts here. It starts really not in a good place. And then in verse 2, how long shall I take counsel in my soul? Okay. This is why I don't believe in analyzing yourself to free yourself. Because the truth of Jesus sets you free, not self-analysis. Not mindfulness. David's going through a mindful moment. He is counseling himself wrong. Because we can counsel ourselves with truth. But he's counseling himself in his own soul. So your soul is your mind, your will and your emotions. And so he's thinking and coming to his own conclusions out of what he's feeling. I've done it. I've come to conclusions out of my own mind and my own reasoning and my own assessment and own feelings. And it's really easy to do. And this great man did this. And he was looking inward, not upward. And if you look inward, you get the wrong counsel. But if you look upward to Jesus and outward to the truth of his word, in those moments when you feel awful, then he will be your wonderful counselor. He's not just a counselor, he's a wonderful counselor. So in other words, he doesn't just bring counsel, he heals you with the counsel. So David's really taking it to himself to work out his own life and situation and why he's feeling like he is. And he's getting nowhere. And he gets so far down the line, he says, and my enemy is exalted over me. Well, we know in Ephesians 2:6, it says that we've been raised in Christ Jesus. So in Christ, we're over the enemy. And we've already heard from Psalm 73, we know his end. And he loses. So David's got all the wrong concept. The enemy's winning. Everything's going wrong. I feel like this is a mess. But then he prays a prayer. And it's verse 3. He says, enlighten my eyes. So in other words, please switch the light on, Lord. I'm in a dark place. Have you known the Lord do that for you? He'll do it every time you ask him. Lord, enlighten my eyes. Switch the light on so that I can see and understand life differently. And what happens is, it's like the key that unlocks. This prayer unlocks David from a really bad time into this. Look at this, verse 5. I have trusted in your mercy, which is love. Your loving kindness, your covenant love. I trusted. I have in my life always trusted Jesus. And I'm not going to stop now. He loves me. So instead of forgetting me, he's back to truth. Then he says, my heart will rejoice in your salvation. So in other words, he saved me. If that isn't the best news ever, that the lake of fire isn't for me, I'm eternally. That's not a 70 years plus. That's eternal torment. If that isn't good, and I rejoice in your salvation, Lord. I've been saved and taken out of the enemy's hand. And I'm now a child of God, loved, chosen, blessed. And then he goes on to say, I'll sing to the Lord because he's been good to me. He's been so good to me. He starts to think differently, even though the circumstances haven't changed. Can you see the process of internalizing how damaging that can be? And how allowing God's truth and what you know about God to answer your current circumstances? God is good. He loves me. Even if that's all you know, God is good and he loves me. You can walk in that. So we can walk not in what we don't understand, but we can walk in what we do understand about Jesus. And that's another secret. Not just a new perspective, but a walking what you know about Jesus. Continuing to know that he loves you, no matter what. And that he is good. He's good. When you don't understand, walk in what you know. When you don't know what to do, do what he has said to do. Trust even though you don't understand. It's a powerful thing to trust. It's even more powerful in a way to trust when your head doesn't understand what's going on, but you still rely on Jesus. And everything he says about himself and everything that he has done already for us through the cross and the resurrection, the new life he's given us. You know, in just share a bit of testimony, just over a year ago, I know we've all got our own stories, but I was coming back in March from a leaders' conference, the last leaders' conference in Horsham, and we were coming back, and I hadn't been well. I was going through a challenge with my health, and I'd been knocked out for days, sick. Then, of course, there was lockdown. Straight after the leaders' conference, we went into the first lockdown. And if you remember the first lockdown, we couldn't see each other. Weren't bubbles. It was really harsh. And then we also had to think about you, about leading a church. And I was saying, Lord, I just don't understand what's going on. How I don't get this. And we're driving in, San had to drive. We're about to record something we've never done before on a laptop at that stage. Everything was new and everything was different. And we weren't seeing you because you're your family, we are us. Yes, that's true. this is not church online. That's not right. Everything about it, I'm against. And every Christian should be. Because we're supposed to meet together. It's the will of God. And so I'm confused. I'm feeling weak. I'm feeling helpless. coming into the building, really just going to make this morning. We'll just do today. And I said, Lord, what? I need to understand what's going on. What do we do about this pandemic? It's a big question, isn't it? What should we be doing about a pandemic? Could you tell me? And it's a word that I had that's got me right through to where I am today. Just one word sometimes, a scripture from God. I didn't understand what to do. And it's a strange word, but it is in the scriptures. It's in Acts 26. God said, let her drive. Now, he knew that I knew what that meant. Most of you probably don't know what that means. But Paul is on a ship that he advised they didn't go on. So in other words, I don't think it was God's will that they went on this ship. But God used it anyway and brought his will out of it. It's not the will of God, but God can turn it round and bring his will out of it. Isn't that great? And on this ship, there's such a strong headwind that they can't deal with it. That's the pandemic. It was like, you can't fight this. And there's a scripture, there's a part of it. The sailors said, just let her drive. In other words, don't try to control it. I'll take you through it. There's nothing you can do to fight this. But I'm going to bring you through, work out my plan of salvation, and bring you into a place where you'll be a witness. That's what Paul needed to do, go and tell people about Jesus. So that's what happened. People got saved in the journey, and he came out of it. And it meant the world to me. It meant everything to me. I think I remember sharing with you, the Lord's told me what we've got to do. Just let it go and trust God. And my first message to the church was, your Father cares. Because we went back to what we know. I don't know how to handle this, but I do know our Father cares. And he'll take care of us. And he has. Praise the Lord, he's been faithful. Isn't that a great thing? So when you can't understand, walk in what you can understand. But it's okay to have unanswered questions. Sometimes the answers come later. When Jesus was washing Peter's feet, Peter says, I don't understand what you're doing. Don't do that. Well, you can do that too. What are you doing? What on earth's going on? This isn't right. And as Jesus is washing his feet, Peter says, no, don't do it. Jesus says, Peter, you don't understand now, but you will after. Later. And sometimes later is next week. Sometimes we understand like 20 years down the road, and you go, oh, because we're growing in the knowledge of God. Doesn't mean stay ignorant, by the way. We need to grow in the knowledge of the Lord and his ways. To be a student of the word, not just a, oh, well, which bit do I lie? Let's keep going back. Study the word. Know the Lord. Don't waste your time on everything but God's word, getting to know Jesus. But after you will understand. Jeremiah was struggling with what was happening to God's people. And he was sort of saying, why is this happening? What's going on? I don't understand, Lord. And the Lord said, keep walking and walk on until you reach the potter's house, and I'll show you. And out of this kind of potter's work, he got the clay and he sort of molding a shape. And then it was like it had a bit in it that shouldn't have been there. Anyway, squashed. Has anybody watched somebody making a pot? I have. And I hate to think of the Lord doing this to me, but he's done it. Just so that he can remove the bad bits. Because he's making something amazing so that we all look like Jesus. Yeah, he's taken out the impurities. He's taken out the things that shouldn't be there. And so up he comes again, and down he goes again, and get more water on it. And eventually the pot's made, and then the potter puts it on the shelf. Jeremiah's watching this, and he's going, "What are you saying, God? What are you saying?" And he's on the shelf, and it dries out a bit, and then there's the kiln, the fire. So then it comes off the shelf, a bit like you and me, and we get into the kiln. Has anybody felt the heat? And you get into a place where it's hot, so hot, and I want out. I think if you could hear the pot screaming through the oven, you'd be going, "Out! Get me out!" And in the kiln, you know, out you come. Actually, they tap it, and if there isn't a certain sound, going back in. And they call it the song. It sings when you come out of the fire. There's a message there. It goes, it sings. It's amazing. And the Lord says to Jeremiah, through this life lesson, I'm the potter. You're the clay. Basically, you're not in charge. Trust me. And I'm working all things together for the good, for those who love God and are the called according to his purpose. We don't understand everything, but we can trust him with everything. And that in everything, he is working up out for good. I'm just going to finish with this. And you might find this helpful. Apart from making sure you draw near to God and get a new perspective, making sure you don't try and control everything, but trust him and walk in what you do know, because that's good, that's important. Many fall at the point where things go bad and they walk away. Keep walking. There's a potter's house for you, and there's also heaven. But finally, I have what I call, if you could look in my head, okay, I've got a file in my head. And it's called unanswered questions. Okay, so it's a closed file. And I couldn't even really fully tell you all of them because I don't really think about them. I just file them. I put them in file. And then what happens is, I just live by the truth of God's promises. God's answers are his promises. Whenever you have a promise, it's God's answer. Wow. That's how he answers your unanswered questions. But if I don't know, I put it in this file. And just like on your computer, there's a file. You, your laptop, whatever you use, you don't have it open. But I trust the Lord that he will pull out at the right time and say, "You know, you asked me that question 30 years ago. This is the answer." But I'm not focused on what I don't know. I'm focused on Jesus and the truth of what I do know. And because of that, I will keep walking with unanswered questions. To be honest, we're not God. I know that's deep. But if your brain has to understand everything, well, I think you must be in heaven. Because on earth we only know in part, but then we'll know everything. And that, beloved, is helpful to me, and I hope it's helped you. In a time where many of us are sad, many of us are going through a hard time. We didn't want this, hope for this to happen. But with perspective, with an understanding that God is good all the time, with understanding of the enemy's end, praise the Lord. And the victory that Jesus has won for us, we can keep walking with unanswered questions. And don't ever let the unanswered questions take up the main screen of your mind and dominate how you think. Because like David, it will be your own soul counseling you rather than the wonderful counselor counseling you. The truth, Jesus says, the word of God setting you free. So if I don't know, I don't say I know. I say I don't know.
That's right.
Zip over there. Lord, if I'd like to know, but maybe one day I will. But I don't know everything. But I do know God loves us. And I do know he's working for good. Shall we stand? And if you like to stand at home, we're just going to pray. And I hope the truth of God's word today has helped you with your unanswered questions. Father, Lord, we just acknowledge that your ways are higher. Your thoughts are higher. We want to thank you that you have written in your word an understanding that after this age of grace, this time, there will be a day of judgment where those who in Christ will be with you forever, but where, Lord, the enemy will be dealt with eternally. Thank you that you won the victory on the cross for us. Thank you that your word is true and we honor your word above our experiences. And we say, Lord, what we don't know, we put on file. So that whenever you choose, you bring understanding to us. Or, Lord, one day in heaven we will understand. And I pray, Lord, that the trouble and the sadness in this time won't turn any into walking away from you. I pray that we will all turn to you like Asaph and draw near to you. And even this morning, leave different because we understand rather than through the slit in the fence, we've got 32,000 feet understanding of the bigger picture. And I pray, Lord, that you will have freedom to do what you want with our unanswered questions, but that our minds will be set and renewed on your truth. And like David, we would always remember that you love us and that you've got a plan for us to do us good, to give us a hope and a future. And so this morning, Lord, we pray for Jane as a family. We ask that you will comfort, that you will bring her unusual peace, a peace that passes understanding, a peace beyond the natural understanding into a place where she trusts and she can experience your presence and your lifting power. And Lord, we pray for Jonathan and Hannah and the whole family that you will comfort them. That you are close to the brokenhearted and you heal their wounds. And I pray, Lord, for us as a church family that this will make us so appreciative of all that we have received from the gift of Andy's life. So many of us have been blessed. Thank you for him. And thank you, Lord, that he is with you. I just praise you. He's free forever. Free forever. And Lord, I pray that this will motivate us to live for eternal things and not just temporary. That our minds and hearts wouldn't just be setting on getting through the days, but we'd live for the kingdom and for heavenly things. In Jesus' wonderful name. Amen. God bless you. God bless you. And God bless this family as we, all of us in our own way, give thanks but also mourn him. Remember, remember it's okay as long as you don't fight not having answers yet. It's okay. Just keep trusting him in spite of not understanding. God bless you. See you soon.
We hope you've enjoyed this message from Kingdom Faith Southwest. For further information, log on to kingdomfaithsw.com.